I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this episode is recorded, the Gubbi Gubbi people. I would also like to acknowledge the First Nations peoples and language groups across this entire nation in which conception, pregnancy, and sacred motherhood knowledge has been shared. We pay our deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and further extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Hello, hello, and welcome! You are listening to The Oxytocin Hour. I'm your host, Dana. I'm a midwife, mum of five, and all-round oxytocin enthusiast. People are all too willing to share their negative experiences of conception, pregnancy, labour, birth, and beyond. The Oxytocin Hour is your safe haven, filled with positive experiences from mums, dads, doulas, midwives, and everyone in between. Each week we will release a new episode with the intent to uplift and inspire you. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Now, let's get into today's episode. This and every episode of the Oxytocin Hour is strictly for entertainment purposes and is not to be used as medical advice. Welcome back to another episode of the Oxytocin Hour. On today's episode, we have Kate. She's a mother of two, a midwife, and Chinese medicine practitioner. She lives on south of the river in Perth. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me, Dana.
I'm so excited to have a chat about all the things midwifery and babies and Chinese medicine.
Yeah, me too. It'll be good. Thanks for having me.
I thought maybe it would be nice to start off with like a little bit of a background of, you know, like why you decided to study midwifery and bring us up to date of like what you're doing now.
Sure. So I guess my journey into this field sort of started, I did my degree in Chinese medicine first. So I finished school and I traveled a little bit and I wanted to be a naturopath, but then that kind of didn't work out the way I thought it would. I applied to do it and then the course I wanted to do got cancelled. So I was like, cool, what else can I do? And I actually had never tried Chinese medicine. I never like had acupuncture, and I knew like within Chinese medicine there was herbs, and that always really interested me because I just think alternative things are really, unusual and they can work really well. So I did the degree. It was 4 years. And then I guess in that process, like I just loved all the things and how holistic it is and how it looks at each person as an individual. And I guess halfway through that degree, I just really found my passion for like working with women. And I did a lot of my placements in. When we do that degree, we've got to do about 900 hours of clinical training. So 400 of those hours was in China. I went to China for 3 months at the end of my degree.
That's amazing.
They have Chinese medicine hospitals. So they've got like Western medicine hospitals and then they have Chinese medicine hospitals. So like it's very common within their culture and like their life. If you have like an ailment or something going on with you, you just present to the hospital and you can go like, you don't really have inpatients at that hospital. It's more of an outpatient thing, but you can go every day and have an acupuncture treatment or like get like your herbs like made up for you. They've like the pharmacy is like literally just, they make up all these like different herbs and cook them. And it's really interesting. So
I wish we had that here. That's
yeah. Wonderful. It's just like so ingrained to their culture. It's like a very preventative kind of approach in medicine. So you're trying to also prevent the body from getting sick, but when the body is sick, looking at the person as a whole, which is a really lovely way. So that was 400 of my hours, but the 500 I did in Australia, we had a clinic at the uni where we did our placements and hours where we see patients from the community come in. But I also did some with a couple of really great acupuncturists that work just with women. And a lot of those hours were in a IVF support clinic. So we'd work with women going through fertility treatments or IVF. And we'd support their journey and process with like the Western medicine, like, you know, the drugs they're injecting and stuff with acupuncture to help their cycle and to help their like side effects and that sort of thing from the treatments. And I just really loved like, because I was in that clinic so much and some of these clients were coming like 3 times a week, like you get to know them really well and then they get pregnant and then often we'd see them for sort of the first 12 weeks to help with their nausea and vomiting. And then often people would just like drop off and then they'd sort of come back at the end of their pregnancy like to help prepare their body for labor. And I always thought like, I just want to know like what happens in the middle, like what do they do, like what, you know, I hadn't had my own kids, I didn't know anything about like I didn't really have anyone in my circle that was having babies. And I just, I don't even know how I knew what midwifery was. I think there was a pamphlet at work about like midwives, and I literally thought all midwives do like the home visits, and like I thought that was what midwifery was. I didn't realize it's like more in the hospital. So I was like, maybe I'll give that a go, and I can just like do like all my sort of acupuncture, Chinese medicine stuff around women, but then also be a midwife and then kind of bring the two together. So I literally applied for this degree, didn't really like midwifery. So I finished my Chinese medicine degree, went straight into my midwifery degree, and I got in to Charles Darwin in Darwin, but I started studying online from Sydney, and then I ended up moving up there like halfway through the first year, and I finished my degree up there. And yeah, it was a great experience. But again, it's only sort of been since I've moved to Perth in from 2019 that I've really integrated the two. Like, they were very separate, and now like I've integrated them really well to have this beautiful like synergy of my offerings, I suppose, and how they kind of come together. Yeah, sorry, it's long.
I love it. I absolutely love it though, because I guess I thought previously, and everyone should know that's listening, like we haven't discussed any of this in depth. So I'm learning this as you're chatting as well, which is
cool. Okay, that's good.
But I thought that you studied midwifery first. So that's really interesting. Yeah, that's a cool little journey. So you've done your midwifery degree and you've meshed them together now.
Yeah.
How does that look? Like, if someone wants to work with you, how does it work from where would be the best time to see you? Do you think preconception or?
Yeah. So like there's never a right or wrong time. Like I don't, I guess, turn people away and be like, you're too late in your pregnancy or, you know, anything like that. But I guess I love the aspect of continuity, and we know midwifery continuity like is amazing, and the research shows that. So the lucky or the blessed role I guess I have is I can work from women like through their whole spectrum of their life. So if someone was 16 and having issues with their periods, I could start seeing them at 16 and work with them like, you know, all throughout their life. But generally I get clients that come to me, not all of them, but quite a proportion that will come like when they're thinking about having a baby and getting pregnant. So we would work together at least for sort of 3 months before they started their conception journey, because we want them to have really healthy menstrual cycles and just also address like anything going on in the background, like stress, digestive issues, or their sleep, or anything that we know can contribute to like issues with fertility.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess the onus is kind of on the client. It's not something where I'm like, you must come 50,000 times and see me. Like I work with them, and what, you know, if there's financial constraints or if, you know, they're really busy with work, like we work out what sort of the happy medium of the frequency that they need to see me is.
Yeah.
And then I work with women all the way through their pregnancy, from the moment like they pee on a stick and they're pregnant, or like, you know, I now have clients coming back to me that I've worked with like fortnightly or monthly through their whole pregnancy, they've had baby, and then they'll come back to me like 1 or 2 months later just for some like check-in treatments, where I guess we just address whatever's coming up. Like if they're having lots of like physical, like, you know, neck and shoulder pain from breastfeeding, or like their sleep is really poor, or, you know, they've got like mood, like, you know, sleep deprivation leads to like sometimes anxiety, depression, or like their mood and stuff, we can work on like really supporting that. And because I do herbs as well, like we can add in like the herbal component as well as acupuncture into that too. So it's, yeah, really lovely to be able to, I guess, really have that extended continuity.
Do you find women. Most of the women that you see are also seeing like a private midwifery aspect of care, or is it like absolutely anyone?
Everybody. It like really depends. Like I do get a lot of, I guess, a lot of my, like, I get how people find me. Instagram is a big one, but also the private midwives, there's a couple in my area that like when they start their journey with their clients, give them a pack and my cards within that, so they know about me. But the, I guess the biggest proportion of my clients are actually ones going through the system or through the hospital, which is great. Okay. Because again, like I know with COVID and things like over here anyway, like a lot of women's appointments became telehealth, and the frequency really changed. So for those clients that were seeing me, they were having like, even though I wasn't technically their private midwife, I had the midwife hat on and could still give that education and knowledge. And like if they had questions about like certain things, you know, like doing glucose tests like for diabetes, or like the GBS swab, or like what normal movements were, like we could still discuss those things because that's part of being a midwife. And you know, even like basic birth preparation, or like I can teach them the acupressure points to help support labor, or those kind of things. What they're getting that continuity from another practitioner that still has like, I am still a midwife. I can't like take that to hat off. Yeah, it's really beautiful, I guess, because I am also hearing like what, because I've had my two children in the last 3 years, but I haven't been in the hospital for that period. So I'm also hearing what's happening, but I've been working as a midwife more in like the community space, like backing up home births and stuff. So I do sort of still work in that aspect a little bit.
That's nice. And when you gave birth to your own children, what sort of, I'm just interested to know what like your care can look like having the Chinese medicine in conjunction with like, I guess, traditional midwifery care.
So if, what was my care like in my pregnancy?
Yeah, like what did you do? What were the things?
Yeah, so I employed a private midwife, the same midwife for my two babies, and we had a loss before my first child, but we had that same midwife again for that, so she knew me like so well. And I guess this is again what sparked, like this is what I knew I wanted to do, but again, like the care I received from that known person really like just supported me and made me want to do this even more. But the midwife I chose had a background in aromatherapy and naturopathy as well, and that's what really like led me to her, because I'm like, she has like, she's a bit like me, like she's got like the midwife hat, but also she's very holistic, and that was important to me. In my pregnancy with my daughter, I did get acupuncture, not every week or anything like that. I got it for a period of time. I was suffering with a lot of like symphysis pubis pain, and it was when I was still working shifts, and I would see an acupuncturist that would really help me with that. And then in between my two kids, I went and was having acupuncture too, from like, I could do it on myself, but sometimes I also feel like I need that energetic component from someone loving on me, if that makes sense. Like I feel like I love on a lot of people, and sometimes I need the love to be given back to me.
Yeah, and to be able to be like intentional, like just concentrate on what's happening rather than
That's it. It's like when you're a midwife and you're in your own birth, like having, like taking your midwife hat off and being like, I'm a mom now, and I'm the like the woman going through that. So it's sort of the same. So yeah, I did get some acupuncture when I was pregnant with my daughter, and then leading up to her birth, I was doing like acupuncture, like the kind of preparation for labor points on myself, as well as like massaging acupressure points with my son. So my second pregnancy, I got some acupuncture like while I was trying to conceive, because my cycle took a little bit longer to come back, between, you know, it didn't come back at 3 months. I had to really work to get it to come back. I think we can talk about that, but like constitutions, like in Chinese medicine, we look at a lot at a woman's constitution, and everybody's built with the way we're born, like from our parents, like we call it like congenital jing, I suppose. Like jing is like your essence. So whatever you're like, if your parents are young and fit and healthy, like the stuff they're giving you for your like DNA, I suppose. And like the way we live our lifestyle, like if we like sleep and look after ourselves and that kind of thing, that all contributes to our individual constitution. And I know for me, like I think a lot of shift work in the past, and you know, I know like my mum went through menopause early and things like that. So I guess my, what the essence I have in my body, and I'm 33 now, is a lot, like it's a bit, not as much as someone who's 25, for example. So I had to work a lot harder after, like my births were normal and I breastfed and everything like that, but I had to work a lot harder to replenish everything after the birth of my daughter, which is really normal for like lots of women, but some women need to like work at that a little bit more than others.
Oh, that's great.
Due to their constitution. Yeah. So once I worked on that stuff, and I was having acupuncture like weekly with another beautiful acupuncturist, my cycle did come back, and then we fell pregnant. And yeah, I guess just every time I've also just, when I have been pregnant, I've just kind of gone with what my intuition sort of telling me I need to do. So in that pregnancy, I got a little bit of reflexology when I was like 13 weeks from another midwife who does reflexology in my area.
That's so cool. That really, it sounds lovely. Like there's so many.
Yeah, there's quite a few private midwives that have like all these extra skills, which is really cool. So that was nice. And what else did I do in that? I got some really beautiful massages as well, but that was kind of all I sort of did for myself in those pregnancies. And then again, I did like acupuncture for myself towards the end to sort of, you know, but I live my life very much when I'm pregnant and not pregnant by like principles of Chinese medicine. Like I'm very like, not funny, but like I always make sure I'm warm. I always have socks on. I'm always eating warm foods to support my digestion. I'm like anal as about sleep. Like I will go to bed at 7:30 or 8 o'clock to get to make sure I am sleeping, because I know for me, like, and my mental health and my whole body, when I've slept and I'm eating like really nourishing food, like I can function even when I'm, you know, super sleep deprived. That is like a non-negotiable for me. So I do like live my everyday life with those principles, and I do try to like educate and empower my clients to also like incorporate that into their own life to live better lives. So
If you have tips for, because I absolutely loved how you were talking about with your period returning, because this is something that's been coming up a lot with different women that I know, that they may have had their baby like 1 year, 2 years, and this is actually true for me, like between my third and my fourth baby, my period didn't return after the third until she was almost 3 years old.
Wow. Okay.
And
were you breastfeeding that whole time as well?
I was breastfeeding the whole time, but I was also doing shift work.
Yeah.
So I was, and this was in, you know, a town 2 hours away. That's where I was working, and I was traveling for work.
That's so, so much would, on your body.
Right. But I would be away from her for a while, but I was still breastfeeding. And so that came up, like talking with a few friends who were like, you know, reassured and saying like, oh, you know, I know you didn't get your period back until she was almost three, so like this must be normal. And I'm thinking like, yes, to a degree, but I feel like if you could speak more on that, because I just,
And the thing is, like, every baby we have, like when we talk about our so basic concepts of Chinese medicine, we've got yin and yang, and women have like, we need both to be in balance to like live like in homeostasis or in balance, basically.
Yes.
When you're pregnant, you're very yang, because we have like the baby inside of us is yin, and we're very like yang, and we're glowing and we're feeling amazing, and we're, you know, all the things. The process of like labor and birth, whether we have a cesarean or vaginal birth, but like labor takes a lot of our energy, and yang is like our chi and our energy. And then we're in a very like after birth, a very yin state. So yin and yang aren't really tangible, but yin things are like our fluids. So like blood and breast milk are both yin. So when we're breastfeeding and we're bleeding after birth, like that's taking a lot of our yin energy. And the ways to like replenish our yin are to like slow down, have good sleep, and all the things as mums, like we don't really get. So, and then again, when you throw in subsequent pregnancies and children, like I only learnt this recently, the more babies you have, that's like further depleting your yin. So you might have felt after your first, between your first and second kid, you're like, it wasn't as hard like on your body. But then between the second and third, it felt like even harder. And maybe between the third and, you know, so it just means we have to work even harder to like build that up again. So like with herbs, with like diet, with lifestyle changes, and really like slowing down and listening to our body. And ideally, like in Chinese medicine, we'd recommend sort of an 18 months between pregnancies. Like that's like a minimum. And I know, like I personally didn't, I think I fell pregnant when my daughter was 15 months. I was a bit shy of that, but I worked very hard to like build all that up again. But if I did that again, I would definitely wait probably the 18 months to 2 years, just because I feel like I did a lot of preparation for this second postpartum and pregnancy, and I worked with a naturopath and I did all my own things as well, and I still feel like I'm, my son's nearly one and it feels a lot harder on my body this time.
Yes, so I can,
it's really,
I can,
interesting, isn't that. It, and I'm like, imagine if I didn't do all the work I did, like I would have felt even
worse. Like, how crap would I have felt? Because I definitely agree, each pregnancy also felt a lot harder on my body, and like I'm sort of weird in a way, like I've experienced pregnancy in my teen years, in my 20s, and in my 30s now. So in each different decade, and it has progressively gotten, I don't want to say harder, but it just felt a lot harder. And also with, like trying to heal afterwards and everything, like Callie's 20 months and I still feel like, oh, I'm starting to feel good now.
And that's the thing. We tell mums, like, rest and do all this stuff. And, like, I've said that to, like, mums as a midwife, and I've said that to clients. But, like, the reality is it's really hard sometimes. Like my two-year-old, nearly three-year-old, doesn't nap. As soon as my son was born, she stopped having a day nap. So I literally go from 5 in the morning to 6:30 when she goes to sleep without a break.
Yeah. So
it's hard. And I know lots of, like, mums and families in that situation. So I think it's just about – you know, I don't really overcommit to things. Like and that's a big thing. Like a lot of my friends, like, you don't really do much. And I'm like, but I work 2 afternoons a week doing this. I sometimes also go and call for home births. I am a mum full time, and I know what my limits are. And I encourage a lot of people to do that, is find your boundary and like what works for you. And at the moment in my life, I can't really give a lot more out to friendships and social things. And I don't really want to as well. Like, my friends understand that, like most of them.
Yes.
And because that's my limit. And I know if I do too much, I'm going to pay for it, and I will feel like, you know, more tired. So I have to really look after myself and my longevity and my health at the moment, and it will reap the benefits later in my life. So
it's so good that you can, that you know that, and you know your boundaries, and you know that you need to actually put stuff in place, because I think it's hard for people to even know that they need to do that. And then beyond knowing, it's like you actually have to do something about it. So to be able to put boundaries in place is really good.
And I think for people around us to understand too, like, you know, friends, family, partners, you know, I think sometimes people forget what it's like when you've got little people too. And, you know, I say that to my clients all the time. Do you not feel bad if you need to cancel something, or, you know, need to say no, or that doesn't feel right? Like, you've got to listen to yourself. You know, in pregnancy, we're so good at that. I always think about that. In pregnancy, we look after ourselves so well, and we slow down and we do all the things. And then it's basically after 6 weeks or a couple of months, then it's like expected we just get back into life. But that's actually where we really need like more support, is at that time. And ongoing, like, you have a 20-month-old now, and you probably still find you need that, you know, extra support.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it just keeps on going, because even with older kids, it's like, wow.
That's it. But I guess that's the nice thing, like, with when you were talking about when people can see me, like, I see women at any, I guess, stage and point, but it's really lovely because sometimes they'll have their baby and life gets busy, and then I'll get a message out of the blue going, can I come back and see you? I just really feel like I need some like TLC. And like, of course, like, you know, that, and that's beautiful because I know their story, I know their journey, and it's like we just hit off where we like last were. And you know, it's lovely to feel, I feel like it's a privilege that people trust me to like come to me and feel that I can fill their cup a little bit, and just, you know, make their day and their like week a little bit like nicer for them.
Yeah, it feels like something I'd want to do. I'm like, oh, you're in Perth.
I know, but there's that's the thing. Like, I think we need to tap into, like, even when we talk about pregnancy, midwives do so much and we're amazing, but there's also a lot of other great practitioners that I think people don't know about, like Chinese medicine practitioners or osteopaths or naturopaths or chiropractors, or, you know, let those people be part of your community and your village, because a lot of them, like, if you look, like, and you talk to other mums and you know, ask around, there are other practitioners that have special, like, we can't say we specialize, but we can have special interests in, like, so with all my continuing professional development I have to do every year as an acupuncturist and a Chinese herbalist, I focus all of those hours within pregnancy and women's health. So I have like a lot of extra training in these areas to, like, you know, have the knowledge and the skills.
Yes.
So look in your village and your community for what you have available.
Yeah, it would be good if I could try to collate some sort of like a list of people around different communities all around Australia, because it's like, I like how you called that a village as well, because it's so important.
It is.
I have another question.
Ask please.
So I'm thinking in terms, I'm still going back to period, but
yeah, that's fine, go.
If you're like, so my eldest daughter, as she like enters like her, well, she's a tween at the moment, I guess she's 11 turning 12, and when not just her specifically, but I guess any teenager like begins to have their period, do you think that's also a good time to see you? Like,
absolutely. There's never like a bad, like a negative or a worse time. Like, we can treat anything from babies up to like 100-year-old people. With babies, we don't really, babies till they're like 2 years old don't actually have acupuncture points. They've got more like channels and areas. So we don't really, like, some people needle. I personally do more like light touch and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyone over sort of like 7, we can needle. And it can be really effective. Like, my 2-year-old always asks me now for like me to put needles in her. And I'm like, that's, you know, she's like, my back hurts. Or like, can you do a needle here? Like, I think because she's just grown up with it and it's normal. But definitely with tweens, there's so many hormones and things going on. And it's about, I think, if anything, it's also teaching them self-care and that it's okay to go and like support your body through these yep. big things it's going through. Like a first menarche, your first period, is a huge like rite of passage as a woman. And I feel like even when I was growing up, it was sort of like I felt it was something I had to be really ashamed of and like not talk about, and you know, and that's probably how my mum and my grandmother all grew up with that same way. But I yeah. think it's a really good thing to like educate girls what's normal, what's not. The number yeah. of women I get coming through like with that were on the pill for 10 plus years because of painful periods and things weren't investigated. I have clients now that you know, were on the pill for so long and it turns out now they're trying to fall pregnant, they have endometriosis and all these other things that were just masked with the pill. I think like that's something, there is quite a big body of research showing like how acupuncture and Chinese herbs can support things like polycystic ovaries and endometriosis really mm-hmm. well. And you know, not saying that when they're 11 or 12 we're going to know if they have that, but you know, we know that like there are, again, there's a lot of research that shows like with dysmenorrhea or painful periods, acupuncture is really effective at addressing that and helping that. So
I suppose I feel like as a mother as well, because I know what it was like when I had my periods, I had really painful, heavy periods from as soon as I got them.
Yeah.
And I always thought that that was normal.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I'm just thinking ahead. I'm like, I wonder, you know, that doesn't mean that she will or that.
But it's also another person that can educate your daughter that's not you. And I think sometimes as mums, like, I mean, yeah. I'm not at that stage yet, but, you know, we don't really want to listen to what our mum says all the time. But if you're yes. going to like another practitioner that's not a doctor, like I know beautiful acupuncturists that will have like a little, you know, those like when you go to Bunnings and they've got like the paint, like the, you know, what you choose the color of what paint you want, the little cards.
Yeah, the little so swatches.
Yeah, the swatches, that's yeah, what they're called. Yeah. So I know this beautiful acupuncturist I used to work with that has like a little like reel of those, like in different colors. And she'll ask her client, now what color or based on this is your period at the moment? Because what we think is red and normal might not be red, like what, you know what I mean? What you perceive as red and normal might be not what I think is a healthy period.
Yes.
Or, you know, we ask lots of questions. We get down to the nitty gritty, like, do you have clots? Do you have pain? Like, are they stringy? Are they like, you know, because that can give us a lot of information about your health and your body. And then educating people, like, this is actually what we want a normal, healthy period to be. Like, it needs mm-hmm. to be no pain, no PMS leading up to it. Like, the bleed will just start. It will last like about 3 or 4 days and then it will be finished. Like, that is a healthy period.
Yeah.
You know, and educating girls, but also like supporting their body if that is not happening to like work on that is yeah, something we can really do.
And how do you usually support them? Will it be through herbs or?
It depends on the individual. Like the thing with herbs is like you can take herbs every single day. So if you can't go and see an acupuncturist every week or every 2 weeks, it's a really good way to maintain the effect of what the acupuncturist is trying to do. Yep. But, you know, some like when I talk about women for preconception stuff, like if women are trying to fall pregnant, I sort of see them every week at least. If there are like major issues going on with their period or their body, like then I may recommend herbs like in conjunction with that. But it really depending on like what the underlying, I guess, can like what we call our diagnosis or like how we diagnose what's going on from our Chinese medicine framework. It would depend if like the herbs would work really well with acupuncture or if we would just say, hey, like, why don't you just try coming maybe every 2 weeks? Like, before you ovulate enough, like before your period, if that's yep. the times where the symptoms are worse.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it's working with every client because everybody's got such different needs.
And I love that you can just work with people individually and just take a look at the whole person.
That's it. And what's going on? Because sometimes, like, you know, there's more stressful times within the month and that's going to make symptoms worse. And yep. so if we know that, then we can go, let's make sure we put definitely an appointment here for you around this time because it's probably going to be really beneficial. Like it'll be beneficial anytime, but you know, if you're getting a lot of pain around this time every month, let's book you in then so we can like work on that and make you a bit more comfortable.
And I also hear about women that have had babies and they say that after they've had their babies that their periods can be a lot heavier or a lot more painful and stuff like that. So you could, yeah, even.
Definitely. Yeah, I actually put up a post the other day on my Instagram about this other therapy called moxibustion, which I don't know if you know what that is. And I had another client reach.
Smoky thing, hey.
Yeah, like, yeah. So that's really known in pregnancy for helping to it can do lots and lots of things. But in pregnancy, there's lots of research that shows it can turn a breech baby, so a baby mm-hmm. with its bum down, to make it cephalic,
yep.
Or like head down. But a lot of people also don't know like we use that like for non-pregnant people all the time for different things anyway. Like
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cold in the body, pain, again, painful periods. It's great for if the pain is due from like internal cold in our body.
Okay.
Can work for like digestive issues. Anyway, I put that post up and then somebody, like one of my old clients who I hadn't heard from for a while, messaged me and was like, oh, my period came back after having like my babies and it's really painful. Do you think that could help? And I was like, it might just be the thing we can use. Like, let's book you back in and, you know, cool. See what's going on. But I'm like, if your pain feels better with like, generally if pain that you have feels better with warmth, like a heat pack or a shower, in that case, like the Moxa will probably be a really good thing to add in. So
yeah.
It's just
I'm listening to you say this and I'm like always just thinking about it in relation to me. I'm like, I do get a sore back, like I always want a heat pack. I always ask for heat pack.
And that's really common too. Again, after we have a baby, like we're susceptible to lots of cold in our body. So often that's why things like the pain we have, if warmth helps it, like that's a really good sign that things like moxibustion or generally like heat and warmth help to move and circulate things in our body. So we'll ask you lots of questions like that. Does anything help make the pain? Does anything make it worse? Does, you know, we ask you lots of questions to get like a really clear picture of what's happening because we want to do the right thing by you and choose the right points and make the correct diagnosis as well.
That's so good. And I was just wondering, again, mm-hmm. I've got like my little list here of just things I'm writing down, but I'm like, if we wrap this up soon, and I thought if you had anything, if you could give anyone tips that are, I'm presuming the majority of people that listen to this podcast are women.
Yeah.
So something that would be relevant for them, like if there was some sort of take home message that you could tell anyone that's listening, what would it be?
I think I'm very also about like listening to your body and slowing down, but also like look at the season and life around you. Like it's winter at the moment. So if you kind of close everything away from your mind, like listen to what your body actually really needs. Like it's cold. So put on warm clothes and put on socks. And maybe rather than eating a salad or having a smoothie, which are really cold foods, nourish your body internally with something warm. So often I'm getting people come in at the moment, they're like, oh, I'm getting like all these like stomach cramps and like I'm really uncomfortable and I'm bloated. And I'm like, okay, what have you been eating? And they're like, oh, like I don't really eat much and I just had like a salad for lunch and I really crave smoothies. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just kind of take that back. And that's one simple thing you can do is like, you know, in the warmth, like our body, like it's summer and sunny, like our body can tolerate that a little bit more. But in the middle of winter, please don't eat salads and smoothies. It's just going to help to like everything to work better within your body.
Is it the same for men?
Yes, it is the same for like men, but generally as women, we're just a bit more susceptible to these things. Like it's again, back to the constitution, and generally men have like stronger constitutions than us just because of their male energy. And us as women, we are a bit more yin in nature than men who are yang. So we have to really hone in on that. And like, especially around our cycle, just slow down. Like if you are having bleeds, like that's a huge thing. When you are having your bleeds, slow down and like act as though you're sick, even though you're not sick. Like, but like lie on the couch, go to bed early, you know, try and cut out stimulants and things like that. And just give your body, like your body is doing a lot every time you have a bleed. So just be really kind to yourself. I think it's really important. And
it's hard to remind yourself of that as well, like because of the society that we live in, but it's so nice.
You gotta keep going.
Exactly. But to hear that message and to know that we're cyclic as well, hey, so we're going to have times that we can work.
Up and down. And again, talking to another client yesterday who was like, I just feel so good around ovulation. I'm like that's how you're meant to feel. Like that's your body telling you like it's working. You're meant to feel really good and full of energy around ovulation. And then when you have your period, you're meant to feel like kind of at a lower point, like, you know, everything comes in ebbs and flows. You're meant, you know, but just listen to that and don't overdo it.
Yeah.
There is that saying, I know you've got to wrap up, but there is a saying in Chinese medicine I always go on about, like, but like your menarche, your every postpartum and your menopause are like windows, like golden opportunities or windows within your life to do things. Like if you look after yourself in those windows or those times, like it's going to give you longevity and good health like later on in life. So that's why you really need to like.
Well, that's good to know. I'm going to put that in the show notes.
Take it as an opportunity to like, you know, go slow, listen to your body and just,
That's beautiful. Honestly, I'm so thankful that you've come on to chat about this because I've learned so much and you have such a wealth of knowledge as well. And I'll pop I'll pop your business handle in the show notes so people can check it out and everything that you share. But I'm so grateful that you've taken the time to come
talk about all this. Thank you.
And we'll chat soon.
Thanks, absolutely.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to share the love or get in contact with us for feedback or a chance to be a guest on the show, you can contact us at www.daisy.com.au. That's www.daisy.com.au or on our Instagram at the Oxytocin Hour, all one word. I appreciate you taking the time to tune in and I hope you've gained something positive from listening. Until next time.